My dear friends in Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior. I would like to consider with you the words of our Lord this morning from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, our Gospel reading today. Jesus said, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and turns to you seven times, saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at the table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" This is God's word. Please be seated. So are you familiar with those nationwide insurance commercials on the theme, "Life comes at you fast"? I was thinking about one of those commercials. Well, this gospel reading got me to thinking about one of those commercials as I was getting ready for today. The commercial begins when a butterfly lands on the side view mirror of an SUV, and that sets off the car alarm. The car alarm in turn scares this squirrel that's up in the tree, and the squirrel falls out of the tree and lands on this bowl of grapes sitting next to this lady who's sunbathing. That in turn scares her, and she screams, and that distracts the guy across the street who's washing his car, and his hose is aimed at this guy who's in the Bobcat. The water hits the Bobcat operator square in the face. He's startled. He accidentally backs his Bobcat into a ditch. It launches this large boulder in the bucket up into the sky. The boulder in turn lands on the tongue of a boat trailer. That launches the boat up into the sky, flies out over the neighborhood, and finally the boat lands on this house and crashes through the roof. And then the voiceover, "Life comes at you fast." And so does this text. And that's kind of what I'm getting at today. In the text right before this gospel reading, we read the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And then in the text right after this reading, we read the story about the 10 lepers who were cleansed, of which only one came and returned thanks to Jesus Christ. Those two texts offer us some rather obvious and also, might we say, neatly packaged lessons for our lives in Jesus Christ. But sandwiched here between those two texts, we have the first 10 verses of Luke chapter 17, which, frankly, do not hold together very well thematically. These verses are disjointed. They are lacking continuity. First of all, it's about not causing little ones to sin. And then it's about forgiving your brother who sins against you, no matter how many times it happens. And then it's about exercising your faith. And finally, there's this thing about the unworthy servant who has only done his duty. What does it all mean? How does it hold together? Well, perhaps, and I want to suggest this to you today, perhaps there is a lesson to be learned in the very disjointedness of it all. Because after all, real life challenges, and the challenges to our faith and the temptations that come our way day to day do not come to us in neatly prepackaged little lessons. It's not as though God hits you up in the morning and he says, "Okay, today, child, I am going to teach you about giving thanks. And then my lesson plan for tomorrow is all about money and not loving money." That's not how life works. Instead, life comes at you more like this commercial, in a seemingly rapid and miscellaneous fashion. And it comes at you fast. Those of you who remember the days of dodgeball back in the old school, maybe remember the kid who was singled out by the other team for annihilation. You gathered up all the dodgeballs and then all of a sudden tried to nail the one kid. That's kind of how life comes at you. So let's just today, in our imagination, let's string together a random series of happenings that might occur on any given day in your life, but using the outline that is provided in this text. And again, the progression is this. Don't cause a child to sin. Forgive each other unceasingly. Exercise your faith. And serve the Lord in every way, every day. Okay, here's the scenario. You're getting ready to go to a party on a Saturday evening, and the phone rings. Your 7-year-old daughter, Kelly, answers the phone and informs you that it's her aunt, your sister, on the other end of the line. And right away, you roll your eyes back in your head because you know that a conversation with your sister is going to last a half hour minimum, and you don't have the time. And besides that, even if you had the time, you're not so sure you even want to talk with your sister anymore because of what you did, or what she did, or what you think she did, because recently your mother willed to your sister that really nice dining room set that you had been hoping to get, and that one's going to stick in your craw for a long time. So, you tell your daughter, tell her we're not here. Tell her I'm not here. And your little daughter, Kelly, says to you, but we learned in Sunday school you're not supposed to lie. Now you're really rolling your eyes back and now getting upset she's doing the religion thing to you. So you tell her this time with some more forceful words, look, it's not that big of a deal. Just tell her I'm not here. And so little Kelly walks away dejected to do your lying for you. You're out late at the party, little too much to drink. So come Sunday morning, you really do not feel like getting up to go to church. Kelly is up, though. She's anxious. She wakes you up, asks about going to Sunday school, but you brush her off with some sleepy, groggy words. We'll go to church next Sunday. But really, you won't. Because you see, lately you've been avoiding church, especially because the words of the Lord's Prayer, that petition that's been really sticking in your throat and you've been choking on it lately with what's happened with your sister. You know those words, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And given what happened with your sister, you're not even sure you can say those words anymore. And it's just easier to avoid going to church and not having to deal with the guilt of all of that. So finally, about 10:30 on Sunday morning, you roll yourself out of bed, you make yourself a pot of coffee, and you go on about your business for the day, doing whatever it is that you have to do and want to do. You see, that's more like the way life really comes at you. It comes at you fast. And it comes at you without a lot of time to reflect on prepackaged lessons about how we're going to respond to these things through faith in Jesus Christ. And before you know it, you've caused a little child to lie for you. You have kept her from Jesus. You are unable to forgive your sister. And you're holding a grudge against her, and you've further cemented that grudge in your heart. You have failed to exercise your faith by going to worship, and instead of serving the Lord, you have served only yourself in all that you wanted to do. And it all happens so fast. Jesus was sure right when he said, temptations are sure to come. But let's rebuild that little scenario. This time, let's handle it the way we should. This time, let's do our duty under the Ten Commandments, all right? So Kelly tells you your sister is on the phone, and you tell her to tell your sister that you'll call her back tomorrow because you have been wanting to talk with her, and you're looking forward to that. So she does that, and you're off to the party that evening. But at the party, you also remember that tomorrow is worship, and you want to be ready for that because you need to be there, and so does your daughter, Kelly. And besides that, you did promise at Kelly's baptism that you would have her at services in God's house on a regular basis and put the Word of God into her hands. And so you're thinking about that on Saturday evening, and you're careful about how much you drink, and you get home in time so you can get a good night's sleep. Kelly wakes up in the morning. She wakes you up. You thank her for doing so. You and the rest of the family get yourselves ready for worship. You go to church, and as always, you pray the Lord's Prayer. And this time when you pray that fifth petition, you do it with joy because you know that afternoon you're going to be settling things with your sister. You're going to call her and work things out. That afternoon you do so. You call your sister. You confess to her that you've been holding a grudge over this thing with the dining room set. And you want to get over it. And you're not even 100% sure that your sister even did anything wrong, because it is, after all, your mother's dining room set, and she can will it to whoever she wishes. And besides that, this is just not worth tearing apart a relationship. And so it was the same scenario, same set of circumstances, except this time you were a good Christian witness to your daughter. You forgave your sister. You exercised your faith in worship, and you grew your faith. And in all of it, you were serving the Lord. You did your duty. Now then, which scenario best describes you? But then here comes the real kicker, and it comes at the end of our text today. In terms of our eternal destiny, in terms of our standing before God, neither of these scenarios makes a lick of difference. If your life tends toward the first scenario, and you are having some trouble doing your duty under the commandments of God, then of course you need a Savior who will forgive you all of your failings, and in whose love you find the strength to move on and to try to do better as He sets you on a new path of righteousness. But if your life tends toward the second scenario, and you are earnestly trying to work out your salvation, what it means from day to day, and you are striving your best to honor God in your decisions and in your words, then guess what? You still need the Savior. For what does our Lord say in verses 9 and 10? Does He, the Master, thank the servant because he did what he was commanded? So you also, when you've done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. All right. So you did your duty under the Ten Commandments. What do you expect? You want to be commended? You want to have a big dinner in your honor? You want a trophy? A certificate? You want a crown of life? Is that what you want? But look, friend. The law of God is not just about doing your duty. It's much, much more than that. It is about going beyond the call of duty to live a perfect life of love for God and for each other. And that has to do with what's in here and what's in here. And I don't think anybody here has done that perfectly. It's not enough to do your duty. If you watched the Ken Burns special this past week, The War, maybe you caught this interview toward the very end of the last episode. They were wrapping up the whole series, and they were interviewing this one man. They had been interviewing him throughout the whole series. I don't remember his name, but he said this, and I quick jotted this down. He said, when we came home from the war, everyone considered us as heroes. We weren't heroes. We were just guys who were there, who did what we were supposed to do. What a remarkably humble attitude. And that is to be our attitude. Even if you managed to do your duty when temptation and situations came at you, even if you managed to do your duty under the commandments of God, your attitude ought not be, well, good job, hey, the Lord is going to accept me, give me some recognition here. No. Let your attitude be this. We are unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. There is no self-saving here. But when life is coming at you fast, whether you fail to do your duty or do your duty, all of it still falls short of the glory of God and of His perfect love. And the Savior is needed by all of us. For there is no one who is righteous, the Scriptures say, not even one. But God saved us. We read in the epistle lesson, God saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus was anointed by the Father to be our Savior, and He did His duty perfectly. He came, He lived, He loved, He died, He rose again for us all. We may have failed miserably in our duty, but He succeeded marvelously in His duty, and He took away the sins of the world. So all who believe in Him have eternal life. Let us, therefore, be more responsive to God's holy calling each day of our lives. And more each day, as life is coming at you fast, have the mind of Jesus Christ and learn to do your duty and thus to honor the Lord your God and your Lord and Savior Jesus, not just with your lips, but with your lives. In the name of our Savior, amen. May the peace of God, that is beyond all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.